And now while you remain standing, I invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Reading the first 11 verses of Hebrews 12. Let's now together quiet our hearts and hear the word of God. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom the father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Let's bow our heads in prayer. O Heavenly Father, instruct us now, we pray, by your word and spirit. Father, we pray that we would say amen and yes to your word, and that it would penetrate our hearts and our souls, changing us. We pray, Heavenly Father, that we would recognize that when we are disciplined, it is because we are your children and because you love us. And so, Lord, we pray that you would ground us in that truth and comfort us by it. For Jesus' sake, amen. You may be seated. Well, I titled this message, brothers and sisters, Legitimate Children of God, because in this passage we just read, it said that those who are not disciplined are illegitimate children. And now I know that when the writer of Hebrews says that, we probably can think of people or think of families in which the children were not disciplined, but those are aberrations. That is not what God's intent is. That is not what should be if we who trust in Christ and we believe the Word of God as parents, we know that our children, like us, are sinners, and they at times need correction, discipline. And we do that out of love for them. We want them to be directed in the right pathway and right living. The Christian life is not always easy. In our Christian walk, there is rest, but there's also wrestling. There's wrestling and there's rest. That is true. Jesus said in Matthew 11, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." But he also says in Luke chapter 13, "Strive to enter the narrow gate." And that word "strive" is agonizo. We get the word agonize from that Greek word agonizo. To strive, to press, to wrestle, to struggle. That's the idea. Strive to enter into that narrow gate. Paul says near the end of his life to his protege, Timothy, "I have fought the good fight. I have run the race." The Christian life isn't always easy. And God's word is very clear in telling us that that is the case. Jesus said, "If they hated me, they will hate you." And we experience that at times, among other difficulties of life. And this rest and wrestling that is part of our existence as children of God, they're not exclusive of one another. It isn't as though you're either at a time of rest or you're at a time of wrestling. The two actually happen together simultaneously in our lives. And we wrestle in order to rest. Our wrestling in this Christian life is so that we will rest in God and His promises rather than in the false promises of sin and of this world. And all of our fighting and running, like Paul says, "I fought the good fight, I've run the race." All of our fighting and running is done with a deep and profound restfulness. I hope you recognize that, or we should, because Christ has already won the fight, and He's already won the race. And He is sovereignly working all things for our good. Now, Hebrews is very clear about this, that suffering is a reality, that the wrestling and the difficulties and the hardships of life is a reality. So as legitimate children of God, you and I will be disciplined. If we were not disciplined, we would not be legitimate. So let's be clear that that is the case. And that's one of the points that I want to bring out. The first point I want to bring out is, as legitimate children of God, we will be disciplined. Because God loves us and He will discipline us. And so this is a reality. It's a universal reality. Remember near the end of chapter 11, Hebrews 11, right? The great heroes of the faith. And throughout most of that chapter, the writer mentions these names of Old Testament saints, Old Testament heroes, and explains how they kept the faith. But then, at the end of this chapter, he talks about those who, and he sort of starts lumping a bunch of them together, and then he says, "Who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness." But then he goes on, "Some were tortured, refusing to accept release. Others suffered mocking and flogging, even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy." This is what happened to faithful saints in the Old Testament. And then he says at the beginning of chapter 12, keep the faith. Set aside the weight and the sin that entangles and run the race. And look to Jesus. Keep our eyes focused on Christ who suffered and who died at the hands of wicked men. Looking, longing for the reward. Look to Jesus. To the initial hearers of this book of Hebrews, or initial readers, they suffered. I've said many times as we've gone through this great book, this wonderful letter to the Hebrews, that it's written to Hebrew Christians who were being persecuted. They were being persecuted because of their profession of Jesus Christ. And it was getting so bad, they were so debilitated and so beaten down that they were tempted to revert back to Judaism and to deny Christ. That was the situation. And so this book is intended, this whole book of Hebrews is intended to encourage them to keep the faith and to look to Jesus. Don't give up. And it's all written so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted, verse 3. And what that means is they were being persecuted. And they were threatened, it was threatening them to grow weary and to get faint-hearted. That was a real reality for them. Or he says in verse 3, consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself. Why would they need to consider that? Because they were experiencing hostility. You have not resisted to the point of shedding your blood. Yes, what he's saying is things are bad. They could be worse. You could be shedding your blood. You haven't gotten there yet, but the writer of Hebrews is acknowledging that things are bad for them. And then verse 11, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. And so that these Hebrew Christians were not enjoying pleasant times, they were enjoying painful times. So that's where they were at. That was the reality. Life was not easy for them. The Christian life is not a bed of roses. It's hard, and that's true for all of us. It's true for all of us in different ways. Different ways from these initial Jewish hearers, Jewish Christian, Hebrew Christians. But we experience hatred. Hatred from the world. Hatred for our faith. Hatred for standing on what God's word says. Simply saying in today's culture, in today's world, that there is no other way of salvation except through Jesus Christ. Having that exclusive claim to salvation makes us the object of hatred in this world. You can't say that a faithful Muslim is not saved, or a well-meaning Hindu is not saved. And when we say, oh, that actually is what we're saying, because there's no other way but through Jesus Christ. This is what God's word says, and this is what where I stand, and you will be hated for that today. You will be hated. You will be hated for saying that marriage is between one man and one woman. That's being bigoted. That's being hateful. Homophobic. Whatever. To say that, we're hated in this world. And I could go on in many, many areas, many parts of our life and culture in which we are living. But you know that. You see that. You listen to the news and you hear these things that are going on. To stand for what God's word teaches is putting us and inevitably puts us into conflict with this world. And we receive that hatred from the world, and we're mocked, despised. And there is an increasing hostility against Christians. And we experience that. And what the writer of Hebrews is saying is, but this is not surprising. This is God's discipline. Sometimes we sense that wrestling and such because of guilt in our lives. Guilt that is in our hearts. We've sinned and that sin weighs heavily on us. Look how David puts it in Psalm 32. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. Have you ever felt that? Have you ever experienced that? We wrestle. Life isn't always easy. We have the world who is against us, but even our own flesh, in our own sins, and the weight of that almost crushes us. That's a reality. It's a reality of the Christian life. The reality of discipline. Legitimate children of God will be disciplined. Legitimate children of God, secondly, will be disciplined by their Father, by their Heavenly Father. This is the point that comes out. In other words, we can, of course, say that the sufferings that we may endure come from the world and comes from outside or comes from our own sin and our own guilt and so forth. We have these hostile adversaries. But ultimately, and this is the driving point of this passage, ultimately this is coming from God, the sovereign one. It's the main burden of this passage, that God is in charge. God is in control. He is sovereign. He is in control of the afflictions, of the hardships, of the sufferings that we may endure. And these are actually the loving discipline of a perfect Heavenly Father. Oh, that we could believe that. That we could say yes to that. God isn't just standing by from a distance and watching when his people suffer. What I am saying to you this morning, what God's word says to you this morning, is he's not standing by and just watching and seeing it happen. He's directing it. He is seeing to it that it is happening. God is not some passive observer while sinners and Satan beat us up. This is why, my son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises even every son whom he receives. God is not passive. He rules the sinners. And he rules Satan. Please understand that. Again, it's interesting how we might be guilty of thinking this way. I think in the world does. It says, you know, there's the good God who created all things, and there's Satan. And they're kind of two equal but opposite powers in this world. And we have to say, with the Word of God, absolutely not. There is the Almighty, eternal God, who reigns over all, and Satan is under him. And God rules over Satan. They're not some equal but opposite powers. God rules. God is omniscient. Satan is not. God is omnipotent. Satan is not. Satan is a creature under God, whom God himself made, and God rules. And so whatever suffering and whatever hardship that may come to us, even from the hand of Satan himself, it is God ruling through Satan, even as he did with Job. Did he allow Job to sift Job, to test his faith? God is not a passive observer. But Satan and sinners unwittingly fulfill the loving and wise purposes of discipline in our lives. They unwittingly are God's tools to accomplish this. And this is true, I think, for all hardships and calamities, whether from our enemies or even from nature itself. God is in control, and he works all things for our good. So the point is, thus far, if you are in Christ Jesus and you are experiencing hardship or suffering of any kind, one, you're not alone. That's a universal reality. But know this, it is not by chance, whatever that is. It is because God is sovereignly directing these things. As legitimate children of God, you will be disciplined by your Father. Just as legitimate children of earthly fathers are disciplined by their fathers. You know, as a side note, I find it comforting, verse 9 and following, where it talks about this, where besides this, we have all had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. And then he goes on and says, for they disciplined us, verse 10, for a short time, as it seemed best to them. But he disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. I've always found this to be comforting, you know, because I'm a dad. I've had children. As most of you know, I had six boys, which meant there was a lot of discipline going on in the house. But I also knew my own weaknesses, and I knew that I didn't always do it right. You know, I didn't always, you know, allow, you know, my own anger to be put aside, but sometimes I let it come out, you know, and maybe didn't discipline the exact way that I should have. But God's word seems to recognize that. And that's comforting to me, that our fathers disciplined us as best as they could, but God does so for our good. And just as parents, this is fathers and mothers, of course. It's speaking to us all. We don't discipline perfectly. But God's word recognizes that. And for me, that's a side note, but it's a comforting thing as a father. But God disciplines us for our good. And that's the third point I want to make. As legitimate children, we will be disciplined by our Heavenly Father for our good. The design of discipline is for our good. Those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. you are a child of God and you're going through difficulties and hardships and trials, this proves that you're a child of God. It confirms that you are a child of God. Do you believe that? When the suffering comes, will you recognize that this is God's loving discipline? And will you trust Him? Or do you? This is to be an encouragement to us. And notice what verses 10 and 11 say in this passage. They disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them, but He disciplines us for our good, that we may share His holiness. So God is doing it for our good. Do you believe that? When we're in the middle of it, we don't believe it. We tend to think, why is this happening to me? This isn't fair. God's doing it for our good. He disciplines us for our good, that we may share His holiness. We're being set apart for godliness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields peaceful fruit. This is what God is doing. He's yielding fruit in your life, a peaceable fruit of righteousness. He is forming us. He's molding us like clay. And sometimes, like the potter, he's got to cut off a little bit of clay. And that hurts. But he's doing it to form us into that beautiful vessel that is in his mind as the sovereign potter with the clay. Verse 9, I think, sums up this matter. Will you be subject to the Father of spirits and live? So you're going through hardships. You're going through trials. Will you trust God? Will you be subject to Him and live? Or will you rebel against Him and die? You see, that was the real issue here for the initial readers and hearers. Their temptation was to leave the faith, to rebel against God and go back to Judaism. Will you subject to the Father of spirits and live? The point is, if we submit to the sovereign, loving discipline of our Heavenly Father, we will not grow weary and faint-hearted. Rather, we'll keep the faith, like the Old Testament saints of old. We will fight the good fight, like Paul. We will run the race and die well. Die in faith. Die believing. Oh, that I will die well. And that's what this is saying. Keep the faith. If you're experiencing hardship, God is disciplining you. And He's doing it because He loves you. And He's making you beautiful. That's what He's doing. Keep the faith. Brothers and sisters, fight the good fight, run the race, die well, and glorify our loving Heavenly Father through it all. Amen. Let's pray. Father, no hardship, no suffering seems pleasant at the time, but it's painful. And we know that. We knew that when we experienced discipline of our earthly fathers, that it was painful. And we know that that is so now, when we experience discipline from your hand. But Lord, give us the eyes of faith to see that you are molding us and making us into holy vessels of peaceful righteousness. We thank you, Lord, that in Christ Jesus, because of what he did for us, we are your sons and daughters. And we thank you that we now have the opportunity to remember that as we come to the table and be strengthened and nourished by it. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.